is the new covenant for Israel or for the church? Stay with us as Gary Hedrick discusses this controversial subject right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. I'm Liz Aiello. Today, Dr. Gary Hedrick is discussing the New Covenant. I'll be back a little later with information about a special offer, so have your pencil and paper ready. Now with today's study, here is Dr. Gary Hedrick.
Thank you, and we welcome you, listening friend, to another edition of our program. The key passage in this part of our study is Jeremiah chapter 31. And today, let's move on to verse 34 of Jeremiah 31, where we find provision number 5 of the New Covenant. Here's what it says. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So the fifth provision of the new covenant is a promise of the forgiveness of sin. And notice, there are two aspects to the promise. First, under the new covenant, sin is dealt with mercifully. He says, I will forgive their iniquity. And it's also dealt with permanently. He says, I will remember their sin no more. Sin is dealt with both mercifully and permanently. What a wonderful promise that is, my friend, that there's full and complete pardon available from the guilt of sin, and it can be ours for the asking. Now, this is another area where Christianity and Judaism differ. Generally speaking, the rabbis reject the Christian doctrine of original sin. They don't believe that a sin nature has been passed down to us from Adam and Eve. You see, in Christian theology, we believe that Adam stood there in the Garden of Eden as the natural head of the human race. So there was a sense in which you could say that when Adam sinned, we all sinned. In fact, Romans 5:12 says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So when Adam sinned, we all sinned. And from that time forward, every human being has been born with a sinful nature. Now you might say, well, that doesn't sound fair. Oh, I don't know about that. I doubt that if it had been me instead of Adam there in the Garden of Eden, or even you, listening friend, I doubt that the outcome would have been anything other than what it turned out to be. You see, we're all Adam's children, and we're all born with that dark side to our personalities, that proclivity to sin. We call it the Adamic nature, the fallen nature. That's why the book of Romans says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The interesting thing is that although the rabbis don't believe in original sin, the Old Testament scriptures clearly make the point that we're all born in sin. For example, in Psalm 51:5, David says that when he was in his mother's womb, he was formed in iniquity. And he says, In sin did my mother conceive me. And that's not Pauline theology, my friend. That's straight out of the Jewish Bible. You know, we hear a lot about guilt feelings these days, and a lot of modern psychology and psychiatry is geared toward helping people get rid of their guilt feelings. And it's true, there may be cases where we feel guilty for things that we shouldn't feel guilty about, but it's also true that there is genuine guilt. Guilt is a legitimate function of the human personality. It's the way God made us. It's like a red flag that tells us when we've done something wrong. And when there's legitimate guilt, my friend, that guilt must be dealt with. You can't just ignore it or try to medicate it away like many psychiatrists try to do. They'll have you so doped up you won't know if you're coming or going. Let me tell you something. When there's real guilt, You've got to have a real solution, my friend, and that solution is the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to this wonderful promise from the New Covenant. It's in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, and this is what it says. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not just some sin, but all sin, past, present, and future sin, big sins and little sins, sins of omission as well as sins of commission. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin, it says. You say, well, I thought I had to keep the law. Well, that would be fine, my friend, theoretically, if it were possible. But the truth is, no one can keep Torah, no one can keep the law. That's why the Old Covenant had to be superseded by the New Covenant. Because under the Old Covenant, it was so hard and so complicated. The Orthodox Jews have 613 basic commands. And then to keep Halakha, you're not supposed to kindle a fire on the Sabbath. So according to the Lubavitcher rabbis, if you turn on a light switch or use a phone or any other electronic device on the Sabbath, then you're breaking the law, because there's a spark, you see. And it goes on and on. Even if you could keep the law outwardly, and that's very questionable, what about in your thoughts? What about your motives? And even if you could stop doing the things you shouldn't do, what about the times when you don't do the things you should do? You see, there's no end to it, my friend. And all the time, there's that nagging guilt that says, there's something wrong. And it's true, there is something wrong. It's a sin problem. But no one can help us because we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. The Bible says there is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's why Yeshua HaMashiach came, so He could keep the law on our behalf, so He could do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And through His sacrifice on Calvary almost 2,000 years ago, we can enjoy complete and total forgiveness of sin. Now, if you're Jewish especially, you're probably thinking, well, Gary, isn't that what the Day of Atonement is all about? On Yom Kippur, we all go to the synagogue and we put on these sad faces and we fast and we pray and we try to be as sorry as we can for the sins we've committed during the past year. And isn't that how we're forgiven of our sins? But what kind of forgiveness is that, my friend? Do we really think we can violate God's covenant, a covenant that was based on total obedience to the law, and then just say, we're sorry, and that makes it okay? Listen, if someone broke into your house and stole $1,000 worth of your belongings, and then they came back a few months later and said, you know, I'm really sorry for what I did. I hope you'll forgive me. What would you say to him? You'd probably say, well, I'm glad you're sorry, but I believe there's a debt that needs to be paid. You see, sometimes just being sorry isn't enough. And it's not enough to be sorry for our sins when there's a sin debt that has to be paid. And it's interesting. The rabbis teach that every Jewish soul was present at Mount Sinai. Because if you're Jewish, your ancestors were there. So every Jew, past, present, and future, was represented there at Mount Sinai when that covenant was made. That means that the Mosaic covenant was not only between God and Israel, but more than that, according to Jewish theology, it was between God and each individual Jew. So that's where the guilt comes from. If I fail in even one point of the law, I'm guilty of breaking the whole thing. And that's why the New Covenant was so necessary. And that's what makes it so wonderful, because it provides a means to achieve total and complete forgiveness of sin. All sin, past, present, and future sins. All of it. You see, my Jewish friend, when the temple was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70, the Jewish people lost more than just a temple. They also lost the concept of a substitutionary atonement. It was so clear in the days of the first and second temples, because the whole purpose of having a temple was to have a place where you could meet God. And the basis upon which God was approached was the basis of sacrifice. Before a Jewish man could approach God, an innocent animal had to be slain in order to atone for his sin. The animal died in his place. It was a substitution. And that's what the sacrifices were all about. They pointed forward to the time when Yeshua HaMashiach would become the Lamb of God and give his life on Calvary to atone for our sins. And whether you're Jewish or Gentile, you can receive him right now as your Savior and Messiah simply by praying, acknowledging your sin, and placing your trust in him. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And that's his invitation to you right now. Well, that's all of our time for today. It's been good to have you on board, listening friend, and I hope you'll make your plans to join us again next time. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. As always, it's good to have you with us, whether you're listening from home, at work, in your car, or wherever you may be. By the way, if you're not able to join us every day, you'll be glad to know that the entire series is available on one convenient CD for a gift of just $6 or more to Messianic Perspectives. The title is simply The New Covenant. If you'd like the companion booklet entitled The Eight Covenants of the Bible, that booklet can be yours simply by enclosing an additional $7. This popular booklet presents a survey of the eight major covenants found in the Bible, including the New Covenant. So that's the CD for $6 and the booklet simply by enclosing an additional $7. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Let me remind you that when you order the materials we offer here on the program, you're not only enabling us to remain here on your station, but you're also helping us take the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach to Jewish people and Gentiles all over the world. Even if you're one of our regular listeners, you still may not know that we're much more than just a radio program. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries, one of the largest missionary organizations in the world. We currently have missionary families serving the Lord all over the world, including the United States, Canada, South America, England, France, and of course, Israel. So when you write, consider helping us with a gift above the suggested amount. We'd be very grateful. Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. You'll be glad to know that our daily programs are available as downloadable podcasts. We're listed in the iTunes Music Store. Just access the music store through the link on our homepage at cjfm.org or by searching for Messianic Perspectives at the iTunes Music Store. You'll find the subscription information there. Would you rather listen on your computer? Our broadcasts are also available as webcasts. Just click on the media link on our homepage at cjfm.org. Once again, our web address is simply cjfm.org. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series of studies on the New Covenant, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.